We both answered him and I hope that I did not sound too pressing. We know them, but I have no ticket of admission. You have, Mother Florence reminded him in her soft way. You have thought, thought. Well? Think about light, she said. Paint light into your canvases. He was immediately exasperated by our apparent stupidity. How can I paint light? He shouted when I haven't got the colors. The light colors? You can always get them. One of the helpers will give you the light colors, Mother answered calmly. Wait, I will call one now. Immediately a young man wearing a brown cassock stood beside us. Our artist friend Mother indicated the painter needs cleaner colors. He wishes to paint light into his pictures. The brother's smile was welcoming. Splendid. Come, my friend, I will get you new tubes of colors. We will see that you can paint light. Come. Hunching his shoulders in a gesture of astonishment at these strange happenings, the painter turned and followed the robed figure. We watched them walk together up towards a hill where the gloom was threaded with a spear of brightness. Mother Florence's smile was quite beautiful. He's on his way, sister, she said, then, with a characteristic little shake of her head which always showed her joy, she commented with calm assurance, he'll do. He'll do. 19th February, I am finding peace. I am at peace. I am absorbed into the atmosphere of peace. I have found tranquility to the measure in which I can accept and appreciate it. I no longer need to strive and struggle, as I did in the earth life. Always there I worked too hard. I strove. I battled forward. I followed every channel, every path which seemed to lead to the breakthrough of the spirit for which my soul yearned so deeply. I obeyed the precepts, followed the doctrines, studied and examined all theories which could explain the spirit, drove myself with the whip of an iron will, read, marked, digested the sciences, so-called, of the human mind and its reactions to stimuli, as well as the human psyche and its reaching forward into revelation. All this with a great purpose, as I supposed, of illumination. I strove always for the break, through to spirit, union with the soul, contact with the great forces, and always, driving my mind and my personal will was the hope, the glory, the bliss of a break, through to spirit. And now as I look back over my earth life, I realize that so much was illusion. I sought the spirit and the spirit was there all the time. He came unto his own and his own received him not. As I rest now in this reality I see, with sadness, the truth of those words. I knew him not. I struggled, fasted, sought for what was already present, perfect and everlasting within me. Like most of us in the body life, I was in illusion, lost in glamour. I looked for the spirit to reveal itself to me, when all that was necessary was relaxation unto God. The spirit was always with me, veiled because physical sight could not view it. The great secret of finding that spirit was the letting go of self. I, who longed so much for the touch of the divine, who dedicated my life to religious work, who read lives of the saints for their examples, who delved into the sciences of psychology, extrasensory perception and all psychic phenomena, as well as into the occult sciences, who denied myself the usual sensual and reproductive life of a human being, who truly tried to obey the precepts of the Master, as related in the New Testament, I had not accepted the simple reality of those words, "Behold, I am with you even unto the end." I had not been able to let go, and let the Spirit absorb me. As I now see my thoughts, actions, aspirations from this angle, I am realizing that the very tenseness of my striving was my undoing and it barred the way to that very union for which my soul longed. I battered at the veil which hid the face of divinity, trying by my mind and will to tear it away. The more intense my thought, the more real did I create the illusion. For the veil was, as I now realize, the veil of my own setting. Light, divinity, reality. All, pervading consciousness. Whether for my acceptance. Much greater progress would have been made by letting go of all these human images and by allowing the spirit to absorb me. Relax and allow the spirit to stream through you. Swim with the tide of the spirit. That is the great lesson I am learning here as I review my mistakes. Now I am in the spirit. There was no break through to spirit, of which I once so glibly talked. There is only a gradual absorption of that amount, or degree of spirit which the openness of the soul can accept. This degree, as I appreciate now, must be governed by the law of progress, for the spirit is never limited, only ourselves, as receptacles, govern the degree of its entrance. This is indeed a salutary lesson. I am aware too that in the last life experience I but repeated old struggles. None of it was new. No adventure into matter, into the exterior, is ever entirely fresh or untried. It has all been worked to its end perhaps hundreds of times before, though under different circumstances, perhaps in different worlds. I cannot be sure of that yet, and it will be worked again and again until we, as souls, learn to carry the light with us, through our personalities. Free will, the development of the logical mind, the illusions of the senses, all these tend to extinguish, or at least, to dim, the light of divinity. Now I perceive more clearly, for I am no longer cluttered by illusions, that the great purpose of life in matter is to illumine matter with spirit. Even here, in my new life, I have been rushing hither and thither in search of adventure, of experience, of progress, and such as I have discovered I have tried to relate in my account. But now, I let go. I seek for nothing. I absorb and am absorbed by the spirit of light, love, beauty. I know that I am being remade. Consciousness is expanding to acknowledge and accept the fact of being a child of the living light, of already having, in consciousness, all that is needed and reflecting as much of the spirit as my awareness will permit. Life still goes on about me. The work of helping others who may be also bogged down in their illusions of separativeness still occupies me and is a joy. I no longer crave to pass on to the next stage, that of being allowed to be a student in the outer courts of the universities here. Such glorious adventure will be mine when my consciousness is ready for it. Until such awareness is alive and active in me and I have achieved the maintenance of the deep tranquility of this knowledge, I am content to remain here, and to benefit by the loving atmosphere. Until this new peace has become an integrated part of me, until all old regrets have been dissolved in love and service, until I have learned to rest completely in this new consciousness of the spirit, I shall remain where I am. Time, as we reckoned it, does not exist here. Consciousness has taken its place. By the degree of consciousness of the spirit can we measure the extent of, the habitation of, varying states in our onward progress. To you still in the concept of time, this could be months, years, centuries. For me now the state of consciousness of living spirit and the serenity such consciousness works in my soul, is my present and my future in this life everlasting. 25th February I have changed, and yet I have not changed. My mind is still the same, eager and thirsting for knowledge as when I was in the third dimension of earth life. Only now the frontiers of revelation are open and welcoming. Avenues of research lead into domains of the spirit which, even in my most aspiring dreams, had never manifested themselves. I am free, as far as my progress will allow, and believe me, the barriers are in one's own consciousness, to pursue my explorations into the nature of eternity. The only hindrances to progress are from one's limited reception of light. I can only liken this to the transmission of electricity. Intenser electric light and power need greater voltage. Greater voltage requires thicker cables of connecting wires. One must have developed the thicker cable with all the leads, in united and plugged in. With cables of lesser voltage there will be lesser light. It is as simple as that. For the exploration to which I can look forward with sure joy, I must clear my lines of all the old faults and errors. I have to develop within me more lines of communication, more wire transmissions to increase the voltage. For these reasons and anticipations I am content to meditate upon past mistakes and to see how they can be reconciled into the pattern as well as to learn lessons of incarnation from the stories of those who come to us here. And with it all, life and service here fill everything with joy and I am finding an exciting approach to truth. There are always those who have traveled further into reality to whom to turn for instruction and advice. There is beauty in its fullness, there is freedom of soul, and there is the wonderful realization that I am the same, that I who was also masked and belabored by the egoism of the personality, am changed and yet not changed. The essential remains. The unessentials are slowly being stripped away so that the joy of the spirit remains, and an abiding peace. In my Father's house are many mansions. This temporary dwelling place of the spirit is my rightful mansion now. But what joy to know, as well as to anticipate, other mansions for further states of living. This is the message which I desire, so much, to put through this work. After the death of the physical body we gravitate to our rightful place, a mansion, a cottage, even a hovel, as we have earned. It is essential therefore to regard life experience, whilst in incarnation on the earth plane as a preparation for this existence. Live life in eternity now. Someone once said, live each day as if it was your last. There is great wisdom in this, for the knowledge will transform thought and action into positivity and reality, bypassing the glamour of earth life and bringing the incarnation nearer to the original plan, thus preparing the abode here in the light of the Christ love. By deeper understanding of these precepts, the soul's communion with the personality will become closer, the less will the persona be allowed to be an obstacle to the soul's pattern. The more valuable and useful will the current incarnation be, and the greater the progress of the soul. 25th February, later the band and I have not been able to touch your mind in these last sessions easily due to the unevenness of your whole vibratory pattern. This factor is caused by the temporary ill health of your body. You recall that I told you, and how surprised and critical you were, that I was not able to meditate whilst I was in those last difficult weeks of my body illness. Well, it was true, and now you see for yourself how the light seemed to have been withdrawn from you during your own feelings of weakness and sickness. It is as if there has been a power cut in the electricity supply. Because the body entities are so real to us in our earth life, and because, as yet, most of us are not sufficiently advanced to supersede this body, we are cut off from the high supply. The vibrations slow down, become grounded in matter, become denser and harder to penetrate. 9th March. I see that you have been reading Dr. Weatherhead's book The Christian Agnostic. I particularly noticed that you paused and reread the following passage: unless we can break out of the prison of old, fashioned expressions, creeds and formulae, we shall never be free to find the far more glorious truths which are inherent in the Christian religion. As you know, from my life story, I dedicated myself to the religious life and, after years of repeating these creeds and forms with my lips, years during which my will was stretched and exerted to keep me honorably performing to the best of my ability those vows which I had so solemnly made, after 25 years of such devotion to my religion, I found myself unable to go on any longer. Not that I no longer believed in God, or did not care to follow the pattern of Jesus, nor that I doubted that Christ was the light of the world, but because, into my experience and thoughts had seeped, to me, a new explanation of these mysteries. Personal discovery had implanted within me doubts of the veracity of those tenets of the faith which even more than 20 years ago were being superseded as outmoded, limited in interpretation, and impractical forms for modern belief. Now, in this new world to which I am gradually being introduced with all its beauty and light and freedom, I can look back with joy that such a step was part of my experience. For I have not, like so many good and conventional souls, arrived here with thought and expectation colored by old half-truths, with prejudices against survival of the personality as well as of the soul to be dissolved, albeit painfully, in this new expression of freedom. At least I am thankful to relate, I came in expectation, in anticipation, in utter belief of a new life, and thus I found joy in the reunion of old contacts, as well as delight in obeying the law of recompense and of service. I passed through the experience of death firmly believing in the resurrection, but not of the body that clothed me on earth. How could I ever desire to bring an old, worn, out thing into this new life, or ever to occupy it again at any future experience. Here I have a body, certainly, but it is a finer composition than my late physical body. Here I look as I did on Earth, or relatively as I looked, but here I am free to refashion this body by thought. I am beginning that adventure of breaking out of the prison of those creeds which limited the reality of life. Here I dwell temporarily amongst my fellow religious in a community which is entirely dedicated to helping souls to awaken to greater freedom before they proceed onwards to their rightful places, and to the extent in which I am allowed to participate, I am learning more and more of the true values of each soul's experience in all the worlds through which it is destined to pass in its progress towards divinity. There are no tenets, no creeds, no formulae, no hard and fast rules devised by any mind to restrict or confine progress here. All is individual, and yet all is for the good of the whole, for the advancement of the group. It is a forward and backward movement, if I may be allowed to use a contradictory expression. Each soul and each group moves onward towards greater expansion, towards the divine conception of an illimitable creation, individually and collectively. Yet at the same time each group and each soul directs backward to the plane below, its present achievement, the fruits of its knowledge. These ideas, ideals and conceptions fit into and make manifest the divine pattern or plan as far as this can be accepted by the souls still seeped in the illusion and glamour of matter. No acceptance of another soul's belief colors progress. The soul must judge for itself, must make its own progress, must choose what to accept as truth for itself. No soul is coerced, forced or bound by creeds. If he believes that this is heaven, or conversely, that he is in hell, then for him that is so at his present state of progress. Helpers and teachers and great souls there are in number to explain such errors of thinking, but there are no rules to follow and obey except the divine precept of love, light, wisdom and understanding. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and truly he had found and could live in that light. We are striving to live also in that light as it presents itself as truth to us individually. This is the glory of the Christian religion, as of all religions, this inner stamp of divinity in each soul, whether blinded and deafened by material thinking or not. Our inner eyes are opened gradually or swiftly to the errors of our old patterns of thinking and acting. We are allowed to progress into such experiences as will help us to put right these errors. In sum, this means remaining in one state until the effects of the disasters of their actions in earth lives have been resolved and love and harmony have healed the hurts. For others, this means joining a group where the omissions in their thinking and feeling can be remedied. Yet still for others there is service to their fellows, whilst to those happy few advanced souls there is swift progress to other and higher spheres. The serial life from one plane to another, from one experience to another, from one group to another, from one adventure to another, from partial understanding to deeper comprehension, from apparent separation to inherent unity and on into the bliss of divine reality, that seems to me, as far as I have progressed, and as clearly as my growing understanding has shown me, to be the glorious truths, as Drive Weatherhead says, of the Christian, or any other religion, which emphasizes the here and the hereafter. 11th March. You must not think that the community in which I now sojourn is the same religious community of which I became a member when on earth. Many of the sisters are here as of old. There are others also from similar communities. Many have passed on to greater activities, others are as new and recent as my own arrival. The term recent I am using in a purely metaphorical way, for already my experience of earth and time is fading. I seem to have been here for eons. Already the sharp-edged emotions which made certain events stand forth clearly in one's memory is dissolving in the expiation of the effects of my actions. I begin to correlate life as a whole now so that different periods dovetail into the pattern and the pattern becomes related to the whole. This community differs from the Earth community in that we have no creeds, no restrictions, no vows, except that of self, dedication of service to our fellows, and no ranks of seniority. We are one in service. We are individual in thought and progress. Ceremony we still perform, in a fuller and wider sense, for there is ever a need for the upliftment of the soul by dedicated and meaningful action correlated with intense thought and aspiration. Yet these ceremonials are not of the pattern prescribed as on earth. Here our ceremonies spring from an innate oneness with the source of all life, an eagerness to participate, a welling upwards of the life force in us so as to initiate a mingling with one another as well as with the greater forces. Here, and in other places, I have taken part in what we call the ceremony of light. This formation of thought, this deep concerted concentration, springs from the deep desire to experience life and yet more life, to unite with the supreme essence, to realize as far as one's present consciousness will allow that life is expansion, that light is but the widening of one's inner perceptions. Such ceremonies and festivals seem to be for the purpose of breaking down barriers which obstruct those lingering inhibitions of the personality which circumscribe the soul and which have to be consciously dissolved and discarded before light can truly flow in. In these festivals of light there is a raising up into power and energy rather than a pouring down. As one takes one's place amongst the community of souls making this observance of ceremony, one is conscious of a supreme quickening of tempo, a heightening of the action of the dynamo of the spirit. There is a distinct feeling of growth, the body seems to expand, to become less gross, to stretch into a new elasticity and ethereal content. The mind soars to a hitherto unexplored vastness of creative activity. The spirit fills all with a dynamic lift of consciousness. New and vast concepts stream into the mind. The onward path is illumined with a clarity that surpasses all imagination. This is truth, one whispers, or yet exhilarated. This is light. These festivals are accompanied, as always in ceremony, with music on a grander scale than anything that is performed on earth. Yet have I never seen instruments such as were necessary for the production of such harmonies on earth. The notes form and are trilled as though by some unseen performers. There is no dissonance, but a growing ascendancy of some majestic theme. There is a swelling of harmony until a particular chord or note is reached and held. That note seems to be the key, the aim, the object of the ceremony. All movements, all voices raised in unison, all sounds from the spheres unite in experiment until the ascension of the right note, rather in the manner of a bird chorus at dawn, lifting gently into a grand finale with every bird throat pouring forth its contribution of sound. Here, the note, when at last reached and sounded in full, is held and vibrated at a pitch of intensity which sweeps every soul into harmony. Then light breaks through into the assembly. Light surrounds us, lifts us, touches us, awakens us. One finds oneself expressing, or trying to express, the note with all of one's mind and all feeling and intensity of which one is capable. One is singing, and yet not singing, with one voice, as in earthly choirs. One is singing with the whole organism. Thought, production, feeling, expression, aspiration and exaltation become united in one vast effort to capture and hold in consciousness that note, to live in and become the vibration of that ray of light expressed through the sounding note. It is the ascendancy of the light. It is union with the vast worlds of spirit. It is the impregnation of matter with spiritual force. It is the light universal, the light of which Christ spoke when he said, "I am the light of the world." It is the light of all the worlds. Of this world, of the physical world as well as of all higher, vaster worlds. It is the light that penetrates and becomes essence in us. It is sound, harmony and light in one. This is the ceremony of light. When I was in the community on earth, I loved the ceremony of the Eucharist. Yet now I realize how pale are the festivals and ceremonies performed with the separated consciousness of the human mind. Yet these ceremonies are of value for they engender uplifting aspirations. The value, as I now see it, in ceremony is in the participator's intensity of application, the intent with which the ritual is performed and followed. On earth I had little ear for music. I believe that I explained in my book Frontiers of Revelation that all my impressions of other states were visual. I rarely heard. More often I saw or was aware of vibration about the physical bodies of my companions. Here I am learning to achieve both the eye and the ear of light. To see the light as well as to hear the vibrations of the different frequencies of light. 14th March. Perhaps the most important change which has come over me in the period since I left the earth, is the deepening of the realization and confirmation of the serialized life which we all lead. It is as though I had just finished a chapter, put down my pen, closed the book and slept for very weariness. Now I am awake, refreshed, alert, and I have started immediately on a new chapter, or perhaps it is a new book in a different dimension. It does not matter whether this is a new book or only a new chapter. It is still a continuation, a sequel to all that has been committed to memory in the last story. There is a definite continuing thread. One meets old friends, tried companions, and former teachers. From conversations and communions with them, and through listening to their stories, the missing portions of one's own experiences return to memory, and the pattern is built up anew. Not that the pattern of the continued life was ever completely lost. As the chief actor in my own particular drama, I had become, as it were, so immersed in the last act or chapter that the incidents, tragedies, lessons of the previous scenes had tended to grow misty. But now I am beginning slowly and laboriously to piece together these scenes into a whole, into a serialized effort at living. Many of the incidents which have been jogged back into my memory by the confrontation of Itsuko, actors long obscured in my consciousness, come as a shock to me. Could this have been how I thought, spoke, acted? What great similarity there is in all the acts, yet how different. The essence is steady and serene, the persona changing and elusive. As I meditate upon some flash of memory, some bead on the chain of experiences either on this plane, the earth plane or some other plane, the plan unfolds itself, only partially of course, to my fascinated gaze. Did I pass up this great chance? Did I respond in such a puerile way? Did I not learn to listen to those vague memory flashes that spoke to me from time to time during all the experiences which separatist thinking often turned into escapades? Had I sunk so far into matter that I had forgotten lessons already learned, philosophies so often established, as real to my mind? Truly I must have. The comparisons fill me with dismay. Can I give an illustration? I have had the wonderful illumination of being transported by thought, temporarily, to a plane where I was in contact with a great soul, a sage, an advanced one, a teacher of wisdom who is one of the divine company. His face flashed into sight before me. I knew him. There was no need for speech. In the manner of this new dimension to which I am becoming accustomed, I understood in silence all that he was communicating to me. It was as if my journeys were unrolled before me on a screen of color and movement, yet without sound. I was entranced and at times joyful, sad, proud and ashamed. Yet he never uttered a word of blame. He smiled with infinite understanding as, once again, only this time on a vaster and more detailed scale. The blueprint showed with definite markings, the little triumphs as well as the failures of my endeavors. I am, I was, I always shall be, I recall thinking, as if in answer I saw him, in flashes, as he was when I had contacted him in my various states of being, for he had played a part in many experiences and always as the brother, the mentor, the inspirer. And I knew him not, I thought with sadness. I remembered him not. As I looked again at him, I saw that his face was the face of infinite limitless love. In my inner ear sounded the words, "Neither do I condemn thee." I was suffused with new joy, great help and a deep strength of consciousness. I was so moved that I found myself weeping inwardly. And when I recovered myself, the vision was gone and I was back in my garden, contemplating the glory of life eternal and the way of endless possibilities. Mother Florence was beside me. "You knew all this?" I asked. "I too forgot when in the earth body," she answered with her usual gentleness. "But you achieved so much," I persisted. "I also failed." "You too have seen him?" I asked. Her face was radiant. "I have met such as he when I have been allowed to visit higher planes. Met them." I marveled, almost in reproof I added, "And yet you choose to remain here?" "Choose." She considered this. I have a duty, dear sister, and my own expiation, which also is my choice.